Now we're holding on page Nun Vav in Sukkah or Islam Gimel. We were learning about the Yetzer Hara and the various names for it and the various things that it's done for which it deserves eventually, as we learned before, that Hashem is going to take it and shecht it in front of everybody. So now continuing on that topic of Hashem's creation of the Yetzer Hara and other negative things in the world. The Gemara says, Amar Robin, or Rav Chana, Bar Rav Acha, Amri Bei Rav, they say in the Yeshiva, Bei Rav, by the way, literally would mean the house of Rav, so it would mean the Yeshiva of Rav. However, there are places in Shas where Rashi points out it doesn't necessarily mean that, it just means in general the Yeshiva. Either because it was founded by Rav, or because Bei Rav in general would mean the house of the Rebbe. Anyway, so he says, so they say in the Yeshiva, there are four things which Hashem, so to speak, regrets that he created. Now, how can we talk about Hashem regretting something that he created? Obviously, lo yishkel v'yachazim, and Hashem doesn't change his mind, and all that. So there's a lot of different points about that. Iyun Yaakov points out in a Balabatish explanation, fine, you know, we have Dibra Torah, Peloshim Bnei Adam, that it means, in other words, the Gemara is phrasing it in that way, that we should realize that Hashem, that these are things that it would be appropriate to be mescharet on, and like this, it should motivate people to do tshuva, and that way these things no longer have to exist. The Maharal talks about the idea that each of these four things that we're going to list doesn't exist for itself, it exists for the sake of something else. The Gemara is going to mention two nations, the Yetzer Hara and Golus. So none of them exist as, it's created as an end in itself. Each one is as a means towards an end. So in that case, we can say on it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet aleihem in the sense that had it not been for the things for which they need to exist, then Hashem wouldn't have created them in the first place, and therefore, metaphorically, we can speak about Hashem regretting that he created them in the sense that he had to create them as a necessity in order to bring about something else, but they themselves have no particular, in and of themselves, they have no reason to exist. And there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the idea behind it. There's also this Yerushalmi that mentions the same point and mentions only three out of the four things. It leaves out Golus. So the Rebbe discusses in some detail in a sicha the difference between the Badli and the Yerushalmi, three things versus four, and that Golus is missing over there and it's present here. And the idea that the Rebbe develops over there is that on the one hand, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet aleihem, as we're saying, they have, so to speak, no right to exist. They ought not to exist, and yet they do. They are creations of Hashem, and that means that we have to extract the most good out of them while we have them. So the Rebbe focuses in particular in that sicha on Golus. On the one hand, we have to realize, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet, a Yid should never think that his place is in Golus, no matter how comfortable we may be in any one or another phase of Golus. We still have to realize that it's something negative and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself regrets that it even exists. On the other hand, since Hashem created it, means that there is what to extract from it as long as we are in it. And the same thing with all the other things. So the four things are Elohim, Kastim, the nation of Kastim, from which Nebuchadnezzar came, who destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash, the Yetzer Hara, Yishmael, the nation of Yishmael, the Arabs, and Golus. So Rais Apsukim the Seder Zeh, so the proofs for each one of them go as follows. Kastim dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Hein eretz kastim zeha omloi hoyu." This land of Kastim, this was a nation that was not. Meaning, in other words, if they don't deserve to exist. And Rashi says, the pasuk is saying, "Halavai imloi hoyu." If only it had to be. If only they didn't have to exist. Marsha points out. You see, for example, every land, every country that's mentioned in Tanakh, is named after the inhabitants of it. So you have Eretz Mitzrayim is named after the Mitzrayim. Eretz Canaan is named after the Canaanim. But Eretz Kastim, it's not called Eretz Kastim. Nearly always in Tanakh, it's called Babel. So it's not even named for the people who live there because like, they don't even deserve to be called a nation. So Hashem is saying, so to speak, I regret that I created them again in the sense that like they have no independent reason to exist. The Yetzer Hara, Dichtiv Vasher HaRayosi, Hashem says, regarding the Yetzer Hara, Hashem says that I did bad. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is saying that I caused the Yetzer, I created the Yetzer Hara, which causes people to do wrong things, and I did, Hashem says, so to speak, I did bad by that, so to speak, I should never have done that in the first place. The whole pasuk goes, the Gemara is going to quote it in a couple of lines. By Yoimahu, Hashem says, on that day, Oisfat Seleah, I will gather up those who are lame, those who are limping because of their aveiros. And I will gather those who are pushed to all different places in Golos, and the ones that I did bad to. So what Hashem is saying, why are there these lame, limping people, and why are they the ones who are pushed to all corners of the world? Is because Asher Harayosi, because I created a Yetzirah that got them into that situation. Golos, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Hashem is talking about how the Jewish people are in Golos, and he says, Va'ata mali foin um Hashem. Now Hashem says, what do I have to do here? In other words, I'm in Golos together with the Jewish people, because we know, and Hashem is saying, mali poi, what am I doing over here? Which is a lashon of Charata, nu'um Hashem, so says Hashem, that my people have been taken into Golos. So therefore, Hashem is, so to speak, saying that I regret that there even has to be a concept of Golos in the first place. And Yishmael, Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Yishloyu Oyhalim Lashoydidim, the tents are a peaceful place for the robbers. This is Rashi refers to, so the Arabs, they live like the Bedouins in tents, and they graze their sheep, they're nomads, they move from one place to another in their tents. Uvatuchos, and it's a peaceful, comfortable existence. L'magizei kale, for the ones who anger Hashem. So in other words, the Pasuk is describing them, these people who live in tents and they earn their living by robbery. As we know, Yishmael is famous for that. We know when the Eved offered the Torah to all the nations and he offered it to Yishmael, they turned it down because of Lo Signov. And the Pasuk is calling them Magizei kale, the ones who anger Hashem. And the Pasuk finishes off, it actually points out, the Pasuk ends, L'asher hevi elikabi yodoi, the one whom Hashem brought in his hand. In other words, the Pasuk is saying, how comes it that there are these Yishma'elim who anger Hashem? Because I myself brought them into existence. Marsha points out also, we have, when Hashem tells Avraham, you're going to have a son Yitzchak, and Idris is going to be with him. So Avraham says, Lu Yishmael, Yichil Lefanecha, if only Yishmael would be able to live before you. In other words, be good to Yishmael since he's my son as well. So now Hashem is saying that, look, all Avraham asked for is Lu Yishmael Yichya, that he should live. Hashem himself, on his own, added that they ended up becoming great and powerful, as he promised Avraham over there. So therefore, Hashem is, so to speak, blaming himself that I'm the one who created this whole situation by giving them even more greatness than Avraham even asked for. So those are the four things. Again, we're saying that they have no independent existence of their own. They exist only for the sake of something else that Hashem created them for, and therefore, in that sense, like they themselves are not an independent existence. It's interesting, by the way, that the Gemara doesn't mention over here Edom and Esav, where in many ways they were worse to us than the Kaskim and the Yishmaelim. One possibility is, especially based on what Maharal is saying, that we're talking about things that Hashem created which like have no independent existence of their own. Esav, to a certain extent, has a right to exist on his own. He is, after all, a brother of Yaakov, Haloi Och Esav Yaakov, Nuum Hashem, and they have, as the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, they have accomplished a tremendous amount for human civilization. You have those whole thing the Gemara tells over there about how Hashem takes all the nations to judgment, and each one he asks, what have you accomplished? And the Romans talk about the roads they built and the bridges they built and so on and so forth, and they really advanced civilization, so therefore they don't belong in the same category as the Kaskim and Yishmaelim, as we're saying over here. Speaking of this pasuk of Vasher Hari Oisi, the Gemara says, "Amar of Acha Bachanina, or different girsah of Yechanan, Il Molei Shloisha Mikrois Halalu, had it not been for the following three psukim, Nismotetu Ragloyin Shal Sinayin Shal Yisrael, the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, which means, of course, the Jewish people themselves, would have stumbled. In other words, we'd have no leg to stand on when it comes in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. Now, the result, as we have the ideas that Hashem expresses in these three psukim, it doesn't completely exonerate a person for following his Yetzirah, but it gives a certain mitigating factor that at least we have a certain leg to stand on in front of Hashem's judgment. One is the pasuk we said where Hashem said, "I will gather up the ones who are limping, and I'll bring together the ones who were pushed out to the sides into Golos, and the ones to whom I did bad." In other words, again, that Hashem So Hashem is saying that, as we just said, I regret creating the Yetzer Hara. Then Hashem is also expressing in this pasuk the idea, it's kind of my fault that these people are nidocha, are tseleya and nidocha, and therefore that at least gives a certain limud schus in front of the Beis Din Shamayla, because Hashem himself created the Yetzer Hara and made it so difficult for them. The idach, another pasuk is, hine kachoyme biyada yod. So Hashem says, just like the clay in the hands of the potter, kein atim biyadi beis Yisrael, so are you in my hands, house of Yisrael. This is where we get the piyot on Yom Kippur night, that we say, hine kachoyme biyada yod, comes from this pasuk. The context is, Hashem tells the Navi, Hashem tells Yirmiyah to go to the potter, and he sees how the potter is busy forming clay into a keli. Then the keli gets ruined. It doesn't come out the shape that he wanted. So he takes the clay and reshapes it to make the keli. And Hashem says, look, you know, Kainatim biyadi, Beis Yisrael, after all, I have the ability to reshape your actions however you want, however I want. So that's also a limud schos on us, that Hashem has the ability anytime he wants to take away our Yetzer Hara and reshape us the way that he wants us. The idach, and the third one, where Hashem says, "Vasiroisias leva evan b'bsalchem," I'll take away the heart of stone from your flesh. This is, we said before, that one of the names of the Yetzer Hara is the stone. So Hashem is saying, I have the ability, and there will come a time when I will take away the heart of stone and put it, in other words, and take away the Yetzer Hara. So that also gives a certain limud schus that it's not entirely our fault, in the sense that Hashem himself is the one who put the stone there and can remove it anytime he wants. Rapapa says, you have another pasuk also where Yechezkel continues in Hashem's name. Hashem says, I will place my spirit within you. In other words, not just Sur Meira, that Hashem will take away the Yetzer Hara, but that Hashem will replace it with Ruchi. That shows, in other words, that Hashem has the ability to do it at any time, and therefore that's a certain limud schos on a person when he follows his Leiva Eben. The Aruch HaNer points out these three psukim kind of go together. You think about it. After all, a craftsman, when he makes something, if he doesn't make it in the right shape or whatever, then yeah, he reforms it. So Hashem, who starts off with the pasuk saying Vasher Harayosi, so you have to ask, so why doesn't he just reshape us like in the second pasuk? And the answer is, he should. By right, a craftsman who takes pride in his work, you would expect him to do that. Nevertheless, Hashem doesn't until he decides that it's time, and therefore all these three psukim taken together are a certain limud schos on the Jewish people. We talked before in this sugya about Mashiach ben Yosef. We started this whole thing by saying that La'asid Lo'ed is going to be a tremendous mourning, and the Gemara had discussed two possibilities, what it is. One is that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed, and the other is that the Yetzer Hara is going to be killed, and that led us into this whole discussion about the ins and outs of the Yetzer Hara. So now, getting back to Mashiach ben Yosef, now the Gemara says, you have the pasuk, the Novi Zechariah says, Vayar'eni Hashem arbor choroshim. Hashem showed me four craftsmen. So Maninu Dalat Harashim. So who are these four craftsmen? Omen of Chonab Bizna, Omen of Shimon Hasida, Zem Mashiach ben David, or Mashiach ben Yosef, the Eliyahu, the Koyin Sen. Four people. Why are they called Harashim? So Rashi explains, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef are both going to be building the third Beis Hamikdash, Shimon and Mehed of Yemen. Therefore, they're craftsmen who help build a building. Eliyahu Anobi built the Mizbeach and Harakamo. Koyin Sedek, Rashi explains, refers to Shem ben Noach. We find a medrash. Rashi refers to a medrash. Now you have a posik in Yeshaya. We have a section of Yeshaya that's read as Haftarah for Parshas Lech Lecha, because you have in Lech Lecha, you have the war of Abraham against the four kings, and you have the whole part over there where he took dirt and straw and threw it at them, and it became spears and arrows and whatnot, and that's hinted at in the psukim over there in Yeshaya. So we read that section of Yeshaya as Haftarah, Parshas Lech Lecha, and a few psukim later, you have a posik, Vayechazik Chorosh es Tzoref. The craftsman strengthens and encourages the smith. Now, in context, the pasuk is talking about that the goyim are nervous. They see that they're about to be conquered and defeated, so they start making for themselves new getchkes, and one person is encouraging the other to hurry up the work and make the nicest getchke they can. But the medrash explains that the chorosh and the tzoref refers respectively to Shem and Avraham. So they are also in Parshas Lech Lecha. You have that Avraham comes to Malkut Tzedek, Melech Shalim, comes out and greets Avraham, and we know that Malkut Tzedek is Shem. So he's called Chorosh, and he's called Chorosh because Rashi explains he helped build the Teva together with Noach. Meanwhile, Abraham is called the Tzoref because he was refined. That Tzoref is a smith who refines gold or silver, and Abraham was refined in the fire of Ur Kasdim. So Chorosh refers to shame, and Tzoref refers to Abraham. And you may chazek Chorosh as Tzoref means when Malki Tzedek, when shame came out to greet Abraham and strengthen and encourage him. So we see that shame is called a Chorosh, and Rashi explains because he helped Noach build the Teva. There is what? So that's what we talked about before. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, and then he's going to be killed, and then Mashiach ben David is going to take over. And we talked about the possibility that Mashiach, there are Sfarim that talk about that Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't necessarily have to be an actual separate person. It can be a neshama that is incorporated into Mashiach ben David, and that Mashiach ben David, in other words, will have both of those minds. But even if we assume that it means two people, it means Mashiach ben Yosef will begin the job of Bona Mikdash ben Mekaymai, and then he's killed in Mochamas Gog Magog, and Mashiach ben David finishes it. What? Abraham is called Tzoref because Tzoref comes with, it's from the word refining. You have different psukim that talk about where the word Tzoref means refining. And Abraham was refined, the Medrash explains, he was refined in the fire that Nimrod threw him into and cast him, and therefore he's called Tzoref. Meanwhile, Shem is called Chorosh because, as Rashi says, he helped Noach build the Teva. So he's a carpenter, he's a craftsman. Mind you, by the way, there was a sicha where the Rebbe talks about that on a pshat level, on a ben chomish l'mikra level, not necessarily did anybody help Noach build the Teva. The Rebbe talks over there in a sicha about why it is on a pshat level that it took Noach 120 years to build the Teva, and part of the answer is because Hashem told him alone to build it, implying that nobody helped him. So on a pshat level, he was the only one, but on a drash level, Rashi is bringing over here with the medrash that Shem helped him out. Anyway, so those are the four choroshim. Marsha points out another angle on it also. The word choroshim we find sometimes means top level chachamim, where you have when it talks about the chorosh v'amaskil, you have the top level talmid chachamim who were taken into Golus Bavel 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, and they're called chorosh become the loshon cheresh because when they say something in Torah, everybody else is quiet because nobody can say anything against what they're saying because they know it all. So therefore, the arba choroshim can also refer to four high level talmid chachamim like that. As far as Kohen Tzedek, so here Rashi is saying that Kohen Tzedek refers to Malki Tzedek. Eitz Yosef over here brings something from the Sefer Asorah Ma'amores, who says that actually it refers to one of the Kohenim descended from Aaron, who's actually going to be a Gilgal of Aaron. Eitz Yosef over here quotes the Asorah Ma'amores that Amar Mifana was saying that it means Ezra, but actually in the actual Sefer Asorah Ma'amores, he doesn't necessarily say it's Ezra, he just says, for example, someone like Ezra. So whatever, according to that, Kohen Tzedek is some very high-level Kohen from the descendants of Aaron. Anyway, Maskif Lodav Sheshes. So anyway, those are the Abba HaRoshim, in short, four great tzaddikim in history. But Maskif Lodav Sheshes, Ihochi. So if so, you're going to tell me that the Abba HaRoshim are four tzaddikim. Heiner Dichtiv, what about the next pasuk continues? The Malach who's showing Zechariah these various visions, says to him, Eila HaKronos Asher Zeruas Yehuda. These are the horns, these are the powers that scattered Yehuda. So what do you mean? These four tzaddikim, just the opposite. Hani Yisubi, Mosvi Yehuda. These four tzaddikim are restoring Yehuda to their rightful place. They're not the ones scattering them. So what do you mean the Abba HaRoshim are these four great tzaddikim? Amalei, sort of Shimon, sort of Chana Babizna answers, Shofel L'Sefer Dekra. Look at the end of the pasuk. After it mentions Eila Akrona such as Eiros Yehuda, the pasuk continues, Vayavoyu Eila L'Hachrid Oysem V'Gomer. These four tzaddikim are coming to terrify them and to get rid of them. In other words, the pasuk is saying like this. First, you have, in the, a few pesukim before that, you have Zechariah sees arba kronos, I see four horns representing four powers, and the malach tells him these represent the four malchias that have dispersed and scattered the Jewish people. Then Hashem shows him the arba haroshim. The point is, they're like, so to speak, the carpenters, the craftsmen who go and who come and destroy those horns and restore the Jewish people to what they should be. So the Eilah HaKronos is not referring to the Choroshim. The Malach is telling him, you have the Kronos that you saw before. Now you should know the Choroshim are coming to destroy the Kronos. Omalei, so Rav Sheshet says, why am I even bothering to argue against Chana, against Rav Chana Babizna? In Agadta, he obviously knows it a lot better than I do. I'm not going to be able to refute him. The Aruch HaNer makes a point, actually, if we analyze about each one of these tzaddikim, we find each one of them has an association with one of the particular yesoidus, Eish Mayim Ruach HaNofer, and he shows how that is. Eliyahu, for example, involving Eish, Min HaShemayim, and Koyin Tzedek, which is Shein Ben Noyach, has to do with water, and so on and so forth, and therefore they counteract the Arba Kronos, who also represent the four different cardinal directions, and each one of them also represents one of the four yesoidus, and therefore they counteract them. Another pasuk talking about groups of tzaddikim, the Navi Micha says, V'hoya zeh shalom, there's going to be this peace, Ashur ki yoveh ba'artzenu, if Ashur, or the kingdom of Ashur, the kingdom of Sancheirev, who had taken the Aseres HaShvatim into Golos, if they come into our land, if they come and invade our land, v'chi yidrech ba'amenesenu, or if they set foot in our palaces, v'akimoinu olav shiva royim u'shmoinu nesichei adam, then we will set up against him, to fight against him, seven shepherds and eight princes of people. So who are they? Maninu zayin royim. So David ba'emza, you have David HaMelech is in the middle. He's the centerpiece of these seven. Adam Sheis and Mr. Shalach Miyaminoi. On the right side of him are Adam Sheis and Mr. Shalach. Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe Mismoiloi. And on the left are Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe. Rashi says, I don't understand. Why Davka these seven? Out of all the great figures in history, why Davka these seven? So Rashi says, I don't really know why. As far as where Yitzchak is, we have Avraham and Yaakov, but we're missing Yitzchak. There, Rashi says there's a reason, because you have a Gemara in Shabbos that tells us that that Yitzchak goes, the loss of love, to save the Jewish people from Dina Shel Gehenna. The Gemara describes over there a whole thing where Hashem says to Avraham about the Jewish people, Yimochu Akdushas Shmecha, where Hashem says to Avraham, your children have sinned, Banecha Chotu, and Avraham says, fine, Yimochu Akdushas Shmecha, and Yaakov says the same thing. Meanwhile, Yitzchak stands up to defend the Jewish people and gives Hashem a whole argument to argue that when you think about it in an average person's lifetime, there's not really very much time for Averis, and to the extent that there is, I'll take it on myself, because after all, I'm Ola Tmima and all that. So therefore, so Yitzchak isn't on this list, because he has a different job. Marsha points out that you have Avraham, you also have the seven royim can be related over here to the seven koichei leches, the seven moving bodies in the sky, the sun, the moon, and five, and the five visible planets. So David is in the center, just like the sun is the centerpiece of all of those, and Malchus based David is compared to the sun. So therefore he's the most important as far as that they're called Royim. Most of them, Taka worked as shepherds. We know that David worked as a shepherd when he was young. So did Yaakov. So did Moshe. And you have a Chase was instead of Hevel, and Hevel was a Royat sign. So they can be called Royim in that sense that they actually worked as shepherds in their lifetime in this world. The Aruch HaNer also makes a point. He says that after all, you know, each one of them is also standing up on behalf of making sure to deal with the Rishoyim of his times, whereas we find, why is Yitzchak missing? Because we find he didn't. We find he didn't even know what Esav was up to. Therefore, he doesn't belong on this list. Then who are the eight princes of men? Yishai, Vishol, Ushmuel, V'Omos, Sfanya, Chizkiyahu, Ve'eliyahu, U'Mashiach. And in the footnote over here, it says that in the Gemara, instead of Chizkiyahu, it has Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda, who the Gemara mentions in various places, was a great tzaddik, even though he wasn't Moicha in the people in his time, and therefore the Pasuk brands him as a Rosha, but really the Gemara explains in various places that he was a great tzaddik. So it doesn't give the name of Mashiach, no. So again, Rashi says, I don't know, Taka, why these eight are singled out as the Nesichei Adam. Marsha says, just apparently the Gemara had the Kabbalah that these seven are going to come together with Malach Mashiach. There's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe, I think in Parshas Baal Oischa, that talks about the Tzemach Tzedek talks about it in Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, that the idea is the Shiva Royim are the ones who bring Elikos b'pnimius into a person. That's why they're called royim, like shepherd, pastors his sheep and provides them with food, the same way the Shiva royim bring in Elikos into each one of us. Meanwhile, the Nesichei Adam, being especially they include, for example, Yishai, who we know never did any Averis in his lifetime. He's one of the few that Mesu be'etia shal machash. So we're talking about a different level of tzaddikim where they bring makifim to us. They bring the ur makif to us, and therefore, and you have the idea that the ur makif, you have the expression in Kabbalah, ur makif mesame in a chitzonim, that completely blinds the chitzonim, the idea being that Altadeva develops the idea over there that what we get from the Shiva Royim can, after all, you can have a unique chitzonim from it, you have the chitzonim can parasitize it and take off it, and then you have the Shmon and Asicha Bnei Adam, who are on a higher level than that, they bring in an ur makif, where the chitzonim are not able to touch that b'chlal, and that's why you have eight of them, as compared to seven, as compared to the Shiva Royim.
He's not mentioning Aaron.
It's true. And there are places in Chassidus where it talks about that Aaron is the one who is Mashpia to us together with Moshe. So yeah, the fact is, I think it's also mentioned in some of these places that there are different, the Zohar actually has a bit of a different list of the Shiva Royim, and I believe the Zohar's list includes Aaron, Taka. So apparently there are different understandings of who the Shiva Royim are exactly. Yeah, so certainly he says, in other words, the same way as we're saying that David is the centerpiece of the seven, the same way Mashiach is the centerpiece of the eight, and they had the Kabbalah that each of these other ones also had a certain sroro, nesichos, each of them had a certain rulership during his lifetime, which is why he can be called nesichei, the princes of Bnei Adam, and they had the Kabbalah that these seven are going to accompany Mashiach. Further on, the Gemara talks about the Gemara continued getting back to Simchas Beis HaSheva. So the Gemara talks about, and again, you have the pieces here in Ein Yaakov are a bit out of order in the Gemara. So you have first the Gemara talks about the Mishnah I mentioned, the Chassidim va'anshe Maise are dancing and singing there by Simchas Beis HaSheva in the Beis Mikdash and saying Shiddus with the Shvachos. And then the Gemara brings in what Hillel HaZaken would do by Simchas Beis HaSheva. Hillel, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, became Nasi 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, and he was Nasi for 40 years, so his entire Nasius was during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, so every year he was able to attend Simchas Beis HaSheva. And so the next piece, actually, again, we have them out of order over here, but Oislam and Zion is going to say what he said by Simchas Beis HaSheva. So then, while it's mentioning that, then the Gemara mentions other things that Hillel said as well. This we have in Pirkei Avos, that Hillel one time saw a skull or a head floating on the water. Omaloi says to it, because you drowned others, then you were drowned. Rashi says that he recognized that it was a certain known ritzeach. So he's saying, because you killed and drowned other people, therefore you got drowned. The in the end, those who drown you are going to be drowned as well. Meaning, in other words, on a pshat level, it means exactly that. In other words, they didn't drown you because they're trying to do good and get rid of the arta aromikirbecha. They did it for their own selfish reasons, and therefore, eventually, they deserve to be punished as well. I'll derech, like, for example, the way that Amram talks about with the Mitzriim, why it is that they deserve punishment if the Eibishter said that the Ba'abodim be'inu oisam, because they're not doing it because the Eibishter said so, they're doing it for their own selfish reasons, so therefore, so Hillel was expressing that idea as well. Ayin Tachas Ayin, you have in this parish, has a vaguely similar idea, yeah. Marsha says, after all, you know, conceivably you also have, we know that the Gemara mentions in Makkos, you also have the case where a person kills B'Shogig and another one kills B'Mezid, and the Eibishter arranges that the one who killed B'Shogig winds up killing B'Shogig again in front of Edim and goes to the Orin Mikvot, and the one who killed B'Mezid ends up getting killed. So here you could have the same thing, but the Loshen, the Seif Matai Fayef Yitufon, doesn't really suggest that, because it suggests more that it was B'Mezid. There's a lot of different explanations about that. First of all, Eitz Yosef points out, Maisim B'chol Yom, you have lots of times that Rots can get away with it and nobody ends up drowning or killing them. So in fact, the Medrash says that point, that it means that they're going to be dealt with loss of love. But here, Hillel is saying that it'll be dealt with in Olam Hazeh, but sometimes it's not, sometimes it only gets dealt with in Olam Haba.
Ion Yaakov points out another possible meaning he brings from Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos that he says that it means not necessarily. He says, "Al da teif dat tfuch, because you drowned others, therefore you were drowned." But instead, it might be, it's always conceivable, unlike what Rashi is saying, that he recognized the guy and knew that he was a Ritzeach. Another possibility is, after all, maybe not. Maybe it was an innocent person who was drowned. So therefore, he's saying, if that's so, then besoif my tefayef yitrufun, then those who drowned you, where you were an innocent person, they deserve that yitrufun. There's also a pshat that says on it, it's brought in various svarim. The first one who seems to have said it was Rabbeinu David, the grandson of the Rambam, that he learns that actually the skull, this head or the skull that Hillel saw was none other than the skull of Pare Malach Mitzrayim. So he's saying, "Al da'atef," because you drowned Jews in the Nile, in Mitzrayim. So therefore, atfuch, you ended up getting drowned in the Yamsuf, the Seif, Metayfayich, Yitrufon. And in the end, anybody who acts like you and drowns others is also going to drown, because anybody who attacks the Jewish people eventually gets what's coming to them. So there's a lot of different explanations of what Hillel is expressing with this idea.
Even if he did kill somebody, even then, the Seif, Metayfayich, Yitrufon.
That's the point. The first way of looking at it is because the people who killed him, right, because of course. So that's one way, but I'm saying on the most basic chat level, Hillel is saying those who killed you, they're not doing it. They didn't do it because they wanted to do a mitzvah of getting rid of a ritzeach. They were doing it for their own selfish reasons, and therefore, just like the Mitzriim who persecuted the Jews and then got punished, even though the Eibishter had promised it, so also these mitayfayich yitrufun, because they didn't do it for the right reason. So yeah, there's a lot of different explanations and possibilities over here. But Rebbe points out in the Sicha, actually following that explanation, that the skull that he saw was the one of Paroi, then where is Hillel, any place where he's going to Bederach HaTeva, see Paroi's skull? Either it's in the Yamsuf, and we don't ever find Hillel being anywhere near there, or according to the famous Medrash that says that Hillel, that Paroi afterwards became the king of Nineveh, and he's the one who was there when Yonah was there, then fine, Hillel's nowhere near there either, so obviously it means that the Eibishter arranged specially that he should see this skull in order to be able to say this point. So that's one point, is that Rabbeinu David, the Rambam's grandson, when he brings this chat, he explains it means the soif. And similarly, anybody who acts like you and the taifayach, anybody who does the same kind of thing that you did, drowning Jews, your tufon is going to get drowned as well. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so now Rabbi Yochanan says this also in connection with something that Hillel says in the next piece over here in Oslam and Zion, where Hillel says an expression that where the place that I love, my feet take me. So then in that connection, Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Raglohi debar inish inun areven bay. A person's feet are his areven, they're his guarantors, la'asra demisbi, in the place where he's wanted, in the place where Hashem has decided that he's going to die, la'saman mevilan yoseh, his feet take him there. In other words, the Eibishter arranges, even though a person may not have any particular plans to go to a certain place, but the Eibishter arranges in his own ways that person will come there when it's time for him to go. And to illustrate that, the Gemara tells the following story. With that said, by the way, even though that is the pshat in the Gemara, there is an interesting story involving the Tzemach Tzedek and one of his chassidim. It's told in Sipurei Chassidim. This chassid used to regularly travel every year on business. He would first visit his melamed in a town near Lubavitch, and then he'd go on to his business. So one year, he ends up leaving later than normal, and he's thinking, actually, so what he'd do is first he'd go to Lubavitch, for Yechidus with the Tzemach Tzedek, then he'd go visit his old melamed in a town near there, and then he'd go to his business. One year, he's running late, so he thinks, I'll go to Yechidus, and then I'll go directly to my business, but the Tzemach Tzedek tells him, no, go visit your melamed like you always do. Akitsu, the guy takes sick over there, he winds up laid up in bed for several weeks, he misses the whole Yerid, everything, and afterwards he comes to the Tzemach Tzedek with a complaint that you ruined my parnasa for the year. And the Tzemach Tzedek quotes in this Gemara and said the word dmisbi'i is also maloshen bori, as in davening. It means not just the Eibishter sends a person to the place where it's destined that he's going to die. The Eibishter sends a person to the place where it's destined that there will be someone who will daven for him. Your Melamed over there in Dabramishol daven for you that you should stay alive, and that's what kept you alive. Had it not been for that, you would have gone onto the fair. You would have gotten sick. There wouldn't have been anybody there. And then, Anyway, so the Gemara illustrates this with the following story. There were two Kushim who stood as ministers in front of Shlomo. Rashi explains that Kushim doesn't literally mean kushim as in dark-skinned people. It means faket. They were handsome people. Al-Darach, like we have by Miriam, Al-Urdis Ha-Isha Ha-Kushis Ha-Shalokach, talking about Tzipora, where Rashi explains over there, means that Tzipora was beautiful. So similarly, these two guys are handsome guys. Marsha explains the reason why we would say that, or what makes us say that, is because since the Gemara is going to say that the Malach HaMavis was upset, Shlomo doesn't know why, he thought maybe the Malach HaMavis is upset, such two handsome people that they should have to die. It's a pity that such beauty should go away from the world. So therefore the Gemara calls them Kushari. Anyway, their names were Elichoda Fachia Bnei Shisha Sokim. The Pasuk, when it lists all of Shlomo's top ministers, it mentions there were two brothers named Elichoda and Achia, the sons of Shisha, who were Shlomo's scribes. Their father, Shisha, appears in a few different forms in Sefer Shmuel and in Divrei Yomim. He's called Sroya or Shavsha or Shiva or whatever. So their father had worked for David, and now they too worked in the same capacity for Shlomo. Anyway, Yom Chad Chazia Malach HaMavis to have a Otziv. One day, Shlomo saw the Malach HaMavis looked upset. Omalei Amai Otziv. So he asked the Malach HaMavis, what's the matter? Omalei, so he said, you come miss me tonight. Hadi Trei Kushoi. I was told from by Hashem that I have to take these two Kushoi, the Yasvi Hocha, who are living over here, and I can't. But he doesn't say why he can't. So Shlomo realizes their lives are in danger. So Masrinu l'Seirim. So Shlomo gave over these two, the two scribes, the Chorif and Achia, to the Seirim, to the Shadim. We know, as Rashi points out, that Shlomo ruled over the Shadim as well. So he sent them with two Shadim, Amalahu, Amtunu, or Shadrinhu, l'mchozer de Luz. Go take them to the area of Luz. You have the famous city of Luz. The Gemara in Sota tells us that nobody in that city ever died. The history behind it, the Gemara tells us in Sota, based on Psukim in Sefer Shmuel, is when Shevet Yosef was busy conquering their territory in Eretz Yisrael, they came across a city, Luz, which they had no way of, they couldn't figure out how to get into the city. It turns out there was a secret entrance. They finally saw a guy comes out of the city, and they ask him to show them where the entrance is. And the Gemara has in Sota, Machlokas, either that he made like a movement with his lip, or he pointed with his finger. He didn't even actually say any words, but he showed them there's a secret entrance in and out of the city. The word Luz means a hazelnut tree. They actually had a hollow trunk of the tree that they would go in and out of the city through there. So they were able to invade the city and take it over and conquer it. And this guy and his family, they let him. They told him, "You can go free as a schus for having shown us the way." The Gemara learns from there the greatness of Levoya, of showing guests the proper way to go. Anyway, so he went, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, he went to Eretz Achitim, and he built a city and named it Luz after his old city. So the Gemara says over there, the city of Luz, among other things, is immune to the Malach HaMavis. No person ever dies in this city. When a person in that city is old and tired of life, he leaves the city and then he dies there. So now, Shlomo figures, if these two, Elichodef and Achia, if their lives are in danger, if the Malach HaMavis is gunning for them, let me send them to Luz. And that way, they'll be safe from him over there. Well, Kimotu Abava, as they came to the gate of Luz, Shrivu, they passed away before they entered the city. Lamacho Chazia, the Malach HaMavis, to have a Kabadach. The next day, Shlomo sees the Malach HaMavis is laughing. Omalei Amai Kabadicha, so he asked them, what are you laughing? Omalei, so the Malach HaMavis says, you played right into my hands. Han Hechadi Bo Minai, Hosim Shadautinu. That I was supposed to take their Neshamas right there outside of Luz, and you helped me out by sending them with the Shadim to there. So, Fakir, if you had kept them here in Yerushalayim, then I wouldn't have been able to get them, which is why I was upset yesterday. You played right into my hands. Miyab posach Shlomo v'omer. So right away, Shlomo replied and said the expression that Yerushalayim had just said. Raglohi debar inish inun arvin bay. A person's feet are his guarantors. La'asra de misbe in the place where Hashem wants him to be, that he should die over there. La'saman mevilin yose, his feet take him there, even though he doesn't know why he's going there. But Hashem has his reasons, and Hashem has his calculations, how he makes it happen. So this story bears out what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. The Yerushalmi, he mentions over here, Gamba, Yerushalmi Masechta, the Yerushalmi in Ksuvus tells the story also with a little bit of variation. It's that when Shlomo realizes these two are in danger, he has the Shadim carry them up into space, and then the Malach HaMavis gets them over there, and the rest of the story is basically the same. The point is, you can't outwit the Eidish there. That's the bottom. Have a conversation with the Malach HaMavis, yeah, a conversation with Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, yeah, that's, yeah. Okay. Speaking of, we just said that Shlomo was ruling over everything, including the Shadim. So now let's talk about Mashiach ruling over everyone. The pasuk says on him, "V'yerd miyom ad yom, he'll rule from sea to sea, or minahar and from the river and afsei aretz until the ends of the earth." You know, you have all the anti-Semites now going from the river to the sea. So here we have Fakir, from the river to the sea, Mashiach will be ruling. Anyway, Rashi in Parshas Balak. Rashi in Parshas Balak explains that the pasuk is talking about Melech HaMashiach. He brings over there in connection with Bilam's last nevuah that it's talking about that Mashiach. It says v'yerd miyom ad yom. Zechariah also, in a number of his nevuahs, talks about Melech HaMashiach, and he uses the same expression. Hinei Malkech Yovei Lach, your king is going to come to you, Ani Vereicha V'chamer, and he describes him, Moshlei Miyom Ad Yom, his rulership will be from sea to sea, Uminahar Adaf Se'aretz, and from the river until the ends of the earth. And the Rambam brings this also, that when Bilam says, V'karka Kol B'nei Sheis, so he'll rule, he'll destroy all of the B'nei Sheis, it refers to Melech HaMashiach, and he brings the same pasuk, Moshlei Miyom Ad Yom. So it means, Papashtus, exactly that. Melech HaMashiach will be ruling over and dominating the entire world. What do we mean by Yom El Yom? I mean, Yom Ad Yom. The Ebenezer explains over there, it means from the Red Sea all the way until the ocean, and from the Nahar, which is the Nahar Yotzim Eden, the river that flows out of Gan Eden, which is in the east, all the way out Afsei Oretz, till the ends of the west. So Mashiach will literally dominate and rule over the entire world. Halachas, we're beginning a new simon in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, simon Ayin Tes, the dinim of Machter. So you say Chati Kaddish before Machter. The Sefer Torah that you just read from, as well as the one that you're going to be reading from Machter, should both be on the Bima, and therefore when you have two Sefer Torah, then you put them both on the Bima. When you have three, you don't have to put down the first one, because you're saying Kaddish between the second and the third one. You don't start the Brachas of Bath Torah until after the Sefer Torah is completely wrapped up. The idea behind it says in the big Shulchan Aruch, the idea is because you want the Gerlo to also be able to pay attention to that Torah, and if he's busy covering the Sefer Torah, if he's busy putting on the Gartel, on the mantle, on the crown, and all that, then he's not going to be able to focus on that Torah.